Welcome back to the Next Chapter News for another deep dive in our True Crime Unsolved series.
Yeah, always exciting to really get into these cold cases.
For any listeners tuning in for the first time, we basically take listener-submitted mysteries and try to solve them.
Well, solve maybe a strong word. More like just really examine all the evidence.
Right. Yeah, examine is better. And this time, you guys sent in a very interesting case about the murder of Kathleen Woodcotton back in 1999 in Wilmington, North Carolina.
It's a case that has baffled investigators for decades and still has people asking a lot of questions.
I mean, even just looking at the basic facts of the case, this Kathleen Woodcotton, she was 68 years old, living a quiet life in Ogden, a suburb of Wilmington. Everyone describes her as this kind, private person, not exactly who you think of when you think of a victim in a violent crime.
And that's what makes it so interesting.
Right. I mean, the crime scene photos and evidence suggest something much more sinister. Like, not just some random act of violence. We know Kathleen was found dead in her home sometime during the first week of July 1999. The back door had been kicked in, so we're definitely looking at forced entry. And there were signs of a struggle, blood splattered all over the house.
Yeah, the sources mentioned the blood splatter specifically.
Yeah, definitely a lot of violence. And then, to make things even weirder, she was found in an inky bathtub.
The bathtub, right. What is that all about? Makes you wonder, was that like part of the initial attack, or did whoever did this move her thereafter?
Right.
And if so, why? Were they trying to make it look like something it wasn't? Or just, I don't know, a really bizarre reaction after the crime?
Yeah, it's really a curveball. Like, you know, sometimes people try to make a crime scene look different to throw off the police,
yeah. Right?
That's usually a sign that the crime was planned out ahead of time.
But finding her in the bathtub, especially with all the signs of a struggle, maybe it was more of a spur of the moment thing, you know? Driven by panic, or maybe they were trying to clean up. I don't know. This detail just makes you really think about the killer's state of mind.
Totally. And on top of all that, there's the missing stuff. Kathleen's purse was gone, along with some cash and her car. A 1992 teal green Honda Civic. So at first glance, robbery seems like the most likely motive.
Yeah, it's the obvious explanation, sure, but robbery usually isn't this violent.
Exactly.
You know, it just doesn't add up. It makes you wonder if there's something more to it than just wanting to steal her stuff.
So who did the police initially focus on? Who were the main suspects?
Well, they started by looking at people who had already been in trouble with the law, especially those with the history of, you know, theft and breaking and entering.
Makes sense.
Two names that popped up were Jason Scott Dew and Billy Ray Aaron.
Oh, right, them. Didn't they later get convicted of murder in Florida?
They did, yeah. But that doesn't automatically mean they weren't involved in Kathleen's case, too. Sometimes these things are connected, you know? It's possible their criminal activities spanned multiple states.
Yeah.
So investigators couldn't just rule them out right away. They had to keep an open mind.
What about other leads?
Well, there was Thomas Gordon Rowntree. He was doing yard work for Kathleen around the time of her murder, so obviously they had to take a close look at him.
Of course.
But in the end, they just didn't have enough evidence to charge him with anything.
It must be tough to be a detective in these kinds of cases, where there are so many potential suspects, but not enough concrete evidence to tie anyone to the crime. And then there's the discovery of Kathleen's car 6 months later. What a huge break in the case, Rel.
Huge. It turned up all the way in Oklahoma City.
Wow.
And the guy who had it, William Greenswag, he was arrested on the spot. But here's where things take a strange turn.
Yeah, this is where I got really intrigued. You got the stolen car, you got a suspect. It seems like they were finally getting somewhere. So what happened? Why wasn't this guy charged with murder?
Well, even though they thought he was heavily involved, they could only charge him with stealing the car. They couldn't link him directly to the murder.
Ugh, how frustrating. They had the car, they had a suspect, but not enough to prove he was the killer.
Exactly. It's a good example of how the legal system works. You can't just rely on suspicion or circumstantial evidence. You need solid proof to convict someone of a crime.
So where does that leave us? We've got this brutal murder, a stolen car that turns up hundreds of miles away, a bunch of suspicious characters, but no real answers. What's next?
What's next is we try to figure out what other paths the investigators might have taken. What else did they look into?
Good point. Let's dig into that more. It's really crazy to think about how different investigations were back then compared to now. I mean, this was 1999, long before all the fancy forensic tech they use today.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, think about it. Trying to solve a case like this with barely any of the tools investigators have now. I mean, no security cameras everywhere like we have now. DNA testing was pretty basic back then. Mm. It really shows you how much they had to rely on what people told them and whatever little bits of evidence they could find.
Yeah, like a puzzle with half the pieces missing. They had the crime scene, the stolen car, a couple of guys who seemed suspicious. But without the tech to connect all the dots, the case just went cold.
It's like trying to see through a fogged up window, you know? You know something's there, but you can't quite make out the details. And actually, the sources mention how much this lack of clear evidence messed with everyone involved, especially the detectives. I mean, they put so much time and energy into finding justice for Kathleen. One of the detectives, George Landry, even said it haunted him, even after he retired.
Man, that's just heartbreaking. It shows how these unsolved crimes, they leave these open wounds, not just unanswered questions. The investigators, the families, the whole community, they never really get closure.
Exactly. And this case, it's even more puzzling because there's no obvious motive. And Kathleen wasn't rich. And besides her car and purse, nothing else seemed to be missing from the house.
So if it wasn't a robbery, what was it? Some kind of personal thing? A crime of passion?
It's possible, right? I mean, the violence, the way they put her in the bathtub, it could be something personal, like a burst of anger, revenge, something like that. But the problem is, there's no evidence of a relationship that would explain that kind of motive, so it's a dead end.
So it's like looking for a needle in a haystack when you don't even know what the needle looks like.
Yeah.
With all these dead ends, is there any chance of solving this case after all these years?
Oh, there's always hope. Just because it's a cold case doesn't mean it's forgotten. The new Hanover County Sheriff's Office still has a whole team dedicated to cold cases. And Detectives Ken Murphy and Stephen Blissett, they're still going through the files, you know, looking for anything they might have missed the first time around.
And what about DNA technology? It's come a long way since 1999. Maybe even the smallest piece of evidence could be retested with the new tech and provide some answers, like a fingerprint, a hair. Anything like that.
Yeah, you're right. It could completely change the game. Even just one little piece of the puzzle could make everything clear. And hey, maybe someone will come forward with new information. Maybe someone saw something back then but was too scared to say anything. Or maybe someone heard rumors over the years that they didn't think were important before.
That's why it's so important to keep talking about these cases, to keep them in the public eye. You never know. Someone listening right now might have a piece of information that could crack this case wide open.
Exactly. Even the smallest details, something that seemed insignificant at the time, could be the key. A name, a date, the type of car someone was driving, anything at all.
So to all our listeners out there, if you have any information at all about the murder of Kathleen Woodcotton, no matter how small it seems, please contact the new Hanover County Sheriff's Office. You could be the one to finally bring this case to a close and help her family find some peace.
It's true. Sometimes all it takes is one person speaking up. One little bit of information could be the breakthrough they've been waiting for. It's never too late for the truth to come out.
Kathleen Woodcotton's story is a powerful reminder that unsolved crimes have a ripple effect. They create so much pain and uncertainty. Her murder stole her future and left her community shaken. But even in the face of tragedy, there's always hope. Hope that one day, with new technology, dedicated investigators, and the help of the public, we can uncover the truth.
And maybe we'll never fully understand why this happened to Kathleen. But by continuing to search for answers, by keeping her story alive, we honor her memory and show that we're committed to justice.
It's a reminder that every life matters, and every unsolved case deserves our attention. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the unsolved murder of Kathleen Woodcotton. We'll be back next week with another captivating case that needs our help. Until then, remember, even the smallest piece of information can make a world of difference. Stay aware, stay informed, and most importantly, never stop searching for the truth. You know, as we wrap up this deep dive into Kathleen Woodcotton's murder, it's hard not to think about how much things have changed since 1999, like how investigations are done. This case really shows just how far forensic science and investigative techniques have come.
Oh, definitely. Back then, detectives had to rely on old school methods, you know, like talking to witnesses, going door to door, and piecing together clues from limited evidence. It's a whole different world compared to the technology they have today.
It blows my mind to think that something as common as security footage could have completely changed this case. Or how DNA analysis, which was just getting started back then, could have provided crucial evidence that they just couldn't get at the time.
Right. It makes you wonder how many cold cases are out there that could be solved with today's technology. Maybe there's a tiny bit of DNA on a piece of clothing or something that could crack the case wide open.
Yeah, it just shows that justice is still possible, even if it takes a long time. And that's why it's so important to keep these stories alive, to remind people that these cases are still open.
By talking about Kathleen's case, we might jog someone's memory, and they might come forward with something they didn't think was important before.
Exactly. Maybe someone who lived near Kathleen back in 1999 saw something strange, but didn't think much of it at the time. Or maybe someone heard a rumor or a story that they didn't connect to the murder.
Sometimes it's the smallest details that can make all the difference. Something that seemed insignificant could be the missing piece of the puzzle.
And that's what this series is all about, right? Not just exploring these mysteries, but also encouraging our listeners to be part of the solution.
Mm.
We can all play a role in getting justice for the victims and their families. Absolutely. Someone out there knows something about what happened to Kathleen Woodcotton. Maybe they saw something suspicious in her neighborhood during the first week of July, 1999. Or they heard something, a rumor, anything that could help. If you know anything, no matter how small, please contact the New Hanover County Sheriff's Office.
Even if you think it's not important, it could be the breakthrough investigators have been waiting for. It could help bring closure to this case and give Kathleen's loved ones some peace.
Kathleen Woodcotton's story is a sad reminder that unsolved crimes have a lasting impact. They cause so much pain and leave so many questions unanswered. Her murder took away her future and left her community with a sense of fear and uncertainty. But even in the face of tragedy, there's still hope. Mm-hmm. Hope that one day, with new technology, dedicated investigators, and the help of the public, we'll find the truth.
And while we might never fully understand why this happened to Kathleen, by continuing to search for answers and by keeping her story alive, we honor her memory and show that we're committed to finding justice.
It reminds us that every life matters and that every unsolved case deserves our attention. Thank you for joining us for this deep dive into the unsolved murder of Kathleen Woodcotton. We'll be back next week with another compelling case that needs our help. Until then, remember, even the smallest piece of information can make a huge difference. Stay aware, stay informed, and most importantly, never give up on the search for truth.